This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Let all that you do be done in love.
Now on Patchwork Heart Radio, this is Remember You Are Loved Live with your hosts, Martha Fernandez-Sardina and Bill Snyder.
Welcome to Remember You Are Loved Live. This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder and director of RememberYouAreLoved.com from San Antonio, Texas, and way up north, my friend and partner in not crime but ministry,
Bill Snyder, broadcasting from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. I'm the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry. Martha, it's so great to be with you here during this sacred Twitterum once again.
It's great to be with you, too. And although we are all peppy and joyful, this is actually a very solemn time that we are now entering into the great Easter Triduum. These 3 days, that's where the word Triduum comes from, these three holy days, which some people might say, but it's really four, but it's a mystery. It's three in one. We go from Thursday through Sunday when the Lord celebrates the Last Supper, gives himself into the hands of those who would crucify him after the agony in the garden, is in fact whipped and beaten and bears our cross, is mounted on the cross, crucified, and dies our death that we might live his life, and then is laid to rest and then resurrects on Easter morning, which we begin to celebrate on the great night, the night of all nights, the Easter Vigil, which of course is a time, has been for centuries, in which those who have come to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as the Messiah, as the Anointed One, are received into the church. And nowadays in our parishes, we have that, and throughout dioceses, hundreds and thousands of people across the globe who come into the Catholic Church either from no faith at all, and they are baptized and confirmed and receive Holy Communion for the first time, or those who are coming into the fullness of the faith. So these are very solemn days, Bill. These are great days. This is a great Triduum, a great time of the year, the one we've been preparing for throughout the 40 days of Lent, in which to face the Lord of the universe, the God of the universe, the Lord of our salvation, and surrender once again to the offer of salvation, of saving love that he has for each one of us. This, I don't know about you, Bill, but this is my favorite time of the entire calendar.
I agree. It's a very special time in the calendar, these 3 days, which are celebrated as one feast. They build onto one another and culminate in the best part, the reason why we are Catholic, for the resurrection of Christ. And that is just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So these sacred days are the pinnacle of our season, of our liturgical year, and we should celebrate them with great solemnity, with great devotion. And with that, I think we want to begin with the Lord's Supper on Thursday and kind of delve into that.
Well, and even before we go into the Lord's Supper, it is the Lord's Supper. There's actually two great liturgies that take place on Holy Thursday. And for those who are able to follow on Catholic television, whether it's EWTN or another source, you will see that the Holy Father, the Pope, always celebrates the Chrism Mass. And traditionally, it is on Thursday. In our last broadcast, we spoke about the Chrism Mass earlier in the week, and that is for pastoral reasons. In many dioceses, the bishop needs to meet on Monday or Tuesday with the presbyterate, with all the priests, and they celebrate the institution of holy orders as well as the institution of the Holy Eucharist as sacraments. And of course, the oils also there are consecrated and distributed throughout the diocese, the order of the oil of catechumens, the chrism also, and so forth. But on Holy Thursday, the Holy Father, the Pope, does that on Thursday. And then the great liturgy in the evening, in the afternoon or evening, which is the Last Supper. So we have these two very important liturgies, and we have some very important symbols and realities. And for example, Jesus that night, having loved his own, he loved them to the end, to the extreme, Scripture says in the Gospel of St. John. And having loved his own to the end, he decided to give his life for us. But before doing that, he knelt, he tied a towel around his waist, He took water and washed their dirty feet. And in that liturgy, we celebrate that Jesus gives us the mandatum, the mandate, the commandment, the new commandment to love our neighbor as he has loved us. And he says, if I, who am the master, have washed your feet, you should do so with others. And some people literally do that, as the priest does at that mass and the Pope does. But some, and many other people do that. There are communities in which, you know, people get together and sometimes they will wash feet. So there is the literal meaning of it, but it's a symbol of that which you and I should be doing every day of our life, which is putting ourselves at the service of others, taking our duty, our mandate to the commandment that the Lord has placed upon us to love our neighbor as ourselves, in fact, to love as Christ has loved us. Now, where do we get the power to love in such a manner? You know, because that's not actually possible to do just with goodwill, just with my own resources. And that is where the Eucharist becomes so essential in the life of a believer, that Jesus himself, who is the source of love and is love himself, love incarnate, gives himself in his body and in his blood, so that feeding upon him, we might become that which we eat. As the ancient philosophers would say, we become that which we eat. And upon eating the body and blood of Jesus and his soul and his divinity, upon receiving the body and blood of Jesus, his soul and his divinity in the Holy Eucharist, we have now power within us to love others as he has loved us. So that is one of the main things that we will be focusing on, and which we focus on every single year. And of course, many communities celebrate also a Passover Seder, normally before Holy Thursday, just to highlight, it's the ancient Seder meal that the Jewish people, the Israelites, would celebrate. And sometimes people will do that prior to Holy Thursday, just to highlight what it means that we were saved, just like the Israelites were liberated and saved from slavery and from Egypt and all that Egypt was for them, slavery and oppression, that we too are delivered by Christ Jesus with his Passover, with his passing from death to new life through his resurrection, that we too are saved in the waters of baptism, which make Jesus' resurrection, which appropriate it, which make it real for each one of us, that we too are liberated from all that enslaves and oppresses us. So this is the beautiful significance, and not just significance, but the celebrations which you and I are invited to enter into on this Holy Thursday, the first day of the Easter Triduum.
This is absolutely correct and fantastic, Martha. You know, one of the things that I love about this particular liturgy, as you were talking there, just about how there's this element of service. There's this element of service, and not all of us, especially in this reading, I'm looking at the Gospel reading, Gospel of John, by the way, it's chapters 13, 1 through 15, verses 1 through 15, and Simon Peter here says, you know, Master, you're never going to wash my feet. I'm never going to, no, you know, and we sometimes don't want to receive the, we don't want to receive the gifts that are given. And we don't always want to do that for some reason. And Jesus says, no, receive what I am giving you and then go out and do the same. And that's the Eucharist. That's the radical love that you're talking about in the Eucharist. And I absolutely love that aspect of this, because here's Peter, who's the first pope, right? And Jesus is saying to Peter, look, you have to do as I do. So therefore, I am going to serve. I am going to do this. And I just love that dynamic, because he's teaching Simon Peter something that is incredible. And in a few short hours, he's going to end up denying him three times. But we see how powerful that is, that we must serve as Christ serves. And what is that to do? It is to clean the dust off others' feet.
Yes, and here then you pointed out a second reality. Not only must we be servants to others, but we must also be humble enough to allow others to serve us, which is an interesting dynamic, because for some people, oh yeah, I want to be served. But for some of us, it's a difficult thing. We don't want to be served by others. One last thing that I'd like to point out, Bill, as we begin now to reflect then Good Friday, is the importance of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, which is highlighted on this Holy Thursday. As the Lord was taken into custody in the Garden of Olives after the agony in the garden, so too we relive that moment, we reenact that moment as we take the Eucharist and we move it from the tabernacle, which remains wide open and bare until the Easter Vigil, when the Lord comes again out of the tomb and to inhabit us. He doesn't inhabit us until, of course, the Holy Spirit has come upon us after his ascension. But here we have then this tabernacle is left empty, and the repository is set up. So there's a side chapel, usually somewhere in the church, where the Blessed Sacrament is there for adoration. There's not exposition, but there's adoration. And then there's the ancient custom to visit, I think it's 7 churches, as if we were journeying with Jesus, just like John is said to have sort of followed along, to, and Peter as well, to see where they took Jesus and when he was being judged, and then he's in prison and all of that. So it's a beautiful custom. I myself love to do it. I do it by myself. I do it with friends. I do it with different communities, where you go from one church to the next to spend some time with Jesus in quiet and meditation. And then, of course, at midnight, it is recommended that all repository chapels be closed to the public, and then we enter into that solemn silence that Good Friday should envelop us with. And why that silence? Because we're in mourning that our Lord now has been taken into custody, is being judged, not only before the Sanhedrin, is being abused, is being beaten, spit upon, scourged, crowned with a crown of thorns, forced to carry our cross after he has been judged by Pilate, who washes his hands and makes himself free. He sort of frees himself from any guilt from allowing Jesus to have been crucified. And then the Lord takes up his cross and walks up to Calvary to give his last breath for love of us.
Yes, and one of those things that Good Friday brings to us is all of the prayers that we offer for the many groups that Christ suffers for, as you're mentioning. We look at the different things, like we pray for the church, we pray for the Pope, we pray for the faithful, we pray for catechumens, we pray for the unity of Christians, for the Jewish people, for those who do not believe in Christ and those who do not believe in God, those in public office and those who are in tribulation. And you see in these a very solemn prayer, and we actually stand and kneel. There is a cantor, or the priest says, you know, let us stand, let us kneel. Oftentimes that's sung, and we're actually praying for these people, you know, a lot of time, and groups of people. And a lot of times people think, well, the Catholic Church, you know, Catholics are insensitive, we don't pray for, you know, these people. But we actually are spending time in prayer, and solemn time in prayer. It's not just, you know, we pray to the Lord, Lord, hear our prayer. It's not that. We're actually spending time in silence and kneeling and standing and offering this in conjunction with the suffering of Christ that you were mentioning. You know, who did Christ suffer for? He suffered for all of us. So we enter into that through these solemn intercessions, and we really pray earnestly for these people and these groups of people. And I think that it's a powerful thing that in silence, as you mentioned, that in solemnity, as you mentioned, and that we recognize the power of Christ's death and the gravity of Christ's death, that and what it does for all of us, and it brings the world into that reconciliation with God, and it gives us the ability to reach heaven through his sacrifice.
So on this Good Friday of the Passion of the Lord and the Holy Liturgy of Good Friday, there is no celebration of Mass. It's the only day of the year in which there's no Mass celebrated, but there is the Liturgy of the Word, of course, and the Liturgy of the Eucharist, with the host that have been consecrated the day before. One of the beautiful things, too, are the reproaches. in which we hear from the Book of Lamentations, where the Lord already prophetically is reproaching us, why I've been so good to you and you've crucified me. It's a very solemn moment, a very prayerful moment. And then, of course, the veneration of the cross, in which we approach the wood of the cross and venerate our Lord who died on it and give ourselves to him. There's a very beautiful moment, too, for a holy collection. I should say a collection for the Holy Land to preserve those places where precisely our Lord lived among us. And then Saturday comes as a day of mourning, as a day of silence. Many people fast. They extend the fast and the abstinence from meat on Friday right into Saturday. In fact, some begin it on Thursday, in which the Lord is gone. And if you go to a church, you'll see the open tabernacle. It's empty. The Lord is gone. And we should reflect, at least I do, and I invite you to do the same. We should reflect, in what way is my heart sometimes like an empty tabernacle? I have been created for the glory of God. I have been created to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. But with mortal sin, I kick him right out. He's gone. And there I am like a shell, like a tabernacle with no Lord in it, like a temple without its Lord. And we need to ask ourselves, in what ways might we change our lives so that we never, ever kick Jesus out of our souls, so that we never, ever are like an empty tabernacle, but are always filled with the Lord. And then, of course, that beautiful Easter vigil in which so many people come into the church and receive the sacraments of initiation, all three or one or two of them. Normally adults, but sometimes also youth and children. Again, we sing the Gloria and bells are rung. And in many churches, the lights that have been turned out for the long Liturgy of the Hours with the seven readings most often, or nine, then the lights are turned on and light bursts into the church. And we celebrate with great joy the resurrection of the Lord, the light of the nations.
And with that, we close here on Remember You Are Loved Live. While our broadcast ends, the tomb remains open and the light shining forth from it. So don't forget to check us out on the web, info@rememberyouareloved.com, info@patchworkheart.org. And we invite you to join millions of Catholics around the world in praying the Divine Mercy Novena, which begins on Good Friday and concludes on the eve of the Feast of Divine Mercy, the second Sunday of Easter, which this year is April 12th. Given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ himself through St. Faustina and ratified by Pope John Paul II. Find details at facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. Until next time, I'm Bill Snyder from Martha Fernandez Sardina. Thank you so much for listening and keep beating to your Catholic heart.
And have yourself a very blessed and holy and happy Easter. And remember, you are loved.
For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Remember You Are Loved Live. This production is a joint initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry and Prepare the Way Enterprises and may not be reproduced or distributed without express written consent. For more information about Remember You Are Loved Live, please email info@patchworkheart.org or info@rememberyouareloved.com.